Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening to all of my brothers and sisters. Thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast, where we here at Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church are going to be conducting our Thursday night Bible study. And we've been talking about a biblical view of the primitive church, a biblical view of the primitive church. This is part four, And let me encourage you to open up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. Genesis chapter 4, verse 8. And the word of God reads as following. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Father, we come now asking you, Lord, to bless this study, illuminate our minds, edify our spirits to us, exhort us, admonish us, reprove us if need be. Send forth this word and let it accomplish that which we individually need. If we lack faith, then provide faith. For faith comes by hearing, and that by the word of God. Whatever our need is today, Lord, use this Bible study to speak to us, encourage us, edify us, correct us. Whatever it is, Lord, let it accomplish that which you have so purposed. And we shall be careful to give you all the praise and the honor and the glory that is due solely to your name. We pray in Jesus' name. Now, we have covered much ground in our three previous studies in order for me to attempt any kind of review, but I want to encourage you to go back to lesson one, lesson two, and lesson three if you have not been tuning into this study. And let me just share with you that all of these studies are prepared with much, much prayer, much preparation, and we really believe in what God has called us to do, which is to feed his people. Feed his people, and we're serious. We have four broadcasts that we do, four. And we're doing everything possible to meet the need of God's hungry people. There is a famine in the land, and it's a famine of the word. You go to most churches, and they're not even touching the word. They're not even discussing the word. Oh, they're talking about biblical subjects, but it's not really the word. It's not the word. So here in Genesis chapter 4, verse 8, and again, I want to encourage you, please go back and review the previous studies. They're going to be a blessing to you. But here, in talking about the primitive church, I can say this much by way of review, that you will always find in the church that there are true believers and there are hypocrites. There are people who bring gifts to God, but they're not true worshipers. You have others who bring gifts to God, and they are true worshipers. Now, true worship has to do with the heart. It's always with God. Everything with God is a heart matter. Always with a heart matter. Don't go by what you see externally. Just because you see people bringing offerings and goods and whatever, don't go by that. Remember, Ananias and Sapphira brought an offering also. And then Peter looked at them, and particularly he looked first at Ananias, and he says, "Why have you allowed Satan to fill thy heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" See, to lie. So there are all kinds of people bringing all kinds of gifts. But really, gift-giving in the eyes of God has everything to do not with money but with the heart. Remember, the widow woman who gave the mite. Now, she obviously a penny. What can anyone do with a penny? Well, in the eyes of God, Jesus said she gave more than everybody. Why? Because she gave from the heart. It's a heart matter. Worship is always a heart matter. We want to judge by the size of the gift. We want to judge by the frequency of the giving. But God says it's always what? A heart matter. And so here we find in verse number 8 that after Cain gave his offering and after Abel gave their offerings, that they each had their own time with God. And God said to Abel, I approve of your offering. But unto Cain and his offering, the Lord had no respect. And of course, Cain was very wroth. He was upset. And not only was he upset, but then his countenance fell. And he was showing his displeasure against the Lord. And the Lord had a lengthy conversation with Cain. It says in verse 6, and the Lord said unto Cain, why are you wroth? Why are you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? See, if you do well, I'll receive you. But you're not doing well. Your gift is not based on the heart. And so we concluded last Thursday that a great many people come to worship, come to give. Even their praise may be empty. And remember, all these things that are being given, they're not being given to the pastor, they're not being given to the elders. Remember, everything that is given is being given to the Lord. Let us not lose sight of that. All that is given to whom? To the Lord. And so it's up to the Lord to say, I'm pleased or not pleased. And in Cain's case, he was not pleased. And in Abel's case, he was well pleased. And so now after Cain and God talk, and after the Lord warns Cain and says to Cain, you know, sin lies at the door. Sin lies at the door, and will have his desire of you, and shall rule over you if you let sin into your heart. So after Cain and God have their conversation, now we pick it up where now Cain and Abel are having their conversation. See, verse 6 and 7 underscores the conversation that Cain and God had. But verse 8 speaks of the conversation that Abel and Cain have, the two worshipers have. And it says, and Cain talked with Abel, his brother, which means that Cain initiated the conversation. It seems as though Cain paid Abel a visit. And so Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, where does Cain work? In the field. Where does Abel work? In the field. One, Cain is a tiller of the ground, and the other, Abel, is a keeper of sheep. So they had this conversation in the field. And it was in the field Cain rose up. He rose up against Abel, his brother. Notice the emphasis. Cain rose up. Now, by this point, we already know that Abel is his brother, but the author wants to remind you that when he rose up, he was rising up. He was attacking his very own brother, blood brother, natural brother. He rose up. Not a brother in the Lord, but a brother of the womb. And so Cain rose up against his brother Abel and just didn't hit him a few times. No. He took his life. He slew his brother. He killed him. Now, why is this so important? Why even discuss this text? Well, Because, you see, just like in the primitive church, today we have people who, if they could, they would kill you. Why? Because you want to do it the right way, they want to do it the wrong way. You have two churches today. You have the remnant church, the church made up of the Abels, the able type of Christians who do everything by the book. And then you have the Cain kind of believers who are apostates, who, if they could, they would kill God. They can't kill God, but if they could, they would. Because the Bible says he was wroth and his countenance was fallen. But since they can't take it out on God, they take it out on God's people. And so throughout church history, there's always been the Cains and the Abels. Now, the Cains worship, but their worship is not according to knowledge. Their worship is not according to the biblical mandate. And thus, their worship is not accepted. And who do they take it out on, since they can't take it out on God? Well, they take it out on the true worshipers. They take it out on all of the Abels. And we've seen this throughout church history, how the Roman Catholic Church, the apostate church, the Cain church, has always persecuted those who protested her abuses. Didn't they go after John Wycliffe and John Huss and Martin Luther? Didn't they go after the reformers? Yes, the Church of Rome did that. It was the Pope and the cardinals and the bishops who did everything in their power to extinguish truth in the church. There was always people like Abel who was pointing to the blood of Christ. The blood, it's the blood, it's the blood. It's the Lamb of God, it's the Lamb of God, it's the Lamb of God. And then you've always had other people like those who represent Cain who are always saying, well, we love God, but it's by works. It's by works, it's by tradition. It's based on our own idea of worship. It's not based on the Bible. It's not based on God's word, but it's based on our own traditions. And once you come against those traditions, boy, you're able to see the demons in these people. Oh, they'll take you out. And there's always been those like Abel who point to the merits of Jesus. It was Jesus who died on our behalf. It was Jesus who died on the cross that we might be saved. And then there are those like Cain who say, no, we're working out our own salvation. We're establishing our own way to God. And so, since they can't take it out on God, who do they take it out on? On their brothers. In this case, one natural brother, Cain, kills his brother Abel. And it says here in verse 8 that Cain talked with Abel, lured him, and then when they were in the field, he rose up, attacked him. But attacking his brother was not enough. He took his life. Now, you see, anyone who would want to take your life while he may be in so-called church is not really a brother. Oh, they may give, they may worship, but they're not your brother. Look with John chapter 8. Go turn to the Gospel of John. John chapter 8, verse 31. This is what Jesus says. This is what the Lord of the church says. This is what the head of the church says. Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. You know, John 8, 31 and 32 are basically what God said to Cain in Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, verse 6 and 7. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. Then if you go down to verse 40 of chapter 8, Jesus said, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth. See, now you seek to kill me. You seek to kill me. Now, remember, these are religious leaders. These are people dressed up in religious robes. And they're boasting about their religious acts. And Jesus says, you're so religious, but by the same token, as religious as you may seem to be, if you are allowed, you will kill me. You see, Cain was religious, but if he when he took the chance to kill Abel, and he brought his plan, his dastardly plan, he brought it to fruition. So Jesus says in verse 40, but now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard of God. Did not Abraham? Yea, your deeds are of your father. Of course, he's not referring to Abraham. They said to him, we have not been born of fornication. We have one father, even God. And Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me. See, what would you do? You would love me. For I proceeded forth from the Father and came from God. I did not come of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my words. For you are of your father the devil. See, he said to these religious leaders, your real father is the devil. Your real father is not God. You have no relationship with God. Your relationship is really with the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. Your father was a murderer from the beginning, speaking of Satan, because when he beguiled Adam and Eve, he doomed not only Adam and Eve, he doomed their posterity to die. When Adam was led by his wife to eat of the fruit, and Eve was beguiled by the serpent to look at it, to touch it, to handle it, and to eat it, Satan, in essence, was having them sign their death warrant. He killed them. He killed them when he hoodwinked them. So Jesus says, you are of the father of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh not of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So Jesus says, if you were of God, you would love me. But you're not of God, you're of the devil. Now turn to the Gospel of John. Another scripture for you out of the Gospel of John, chapter 15. John chapter 15, verse 8 and 9. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, verse 8 and 9. The Lord says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. And as the Father have loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my what? In my love. You see, in the fellowship of true believers, one thing reigns supreme, the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is expressed in that he loved us because he sent his Son. The Father loves the Son loves the Father, and as a result of the Father sending his Son, why did God send his Son? Because he so loved the world. And so now that he has redeemed us, now we are bound to love one another. So Jesus says, as the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my what? In my love. Now, did Cain continue in God's love? Absolutely not. You know, after Cain offered his sacrifice and God says, I have to reject that because your heart's not right. God says, and Cain was angry because God said, no, I don't accept this. Oh, he was, Cain was really, really upset. And not only, he was very demonstrative. He was wroth and his countenance fell. You can just look at him. He was fuming. Smoke, proverbial smoke was coming out of Cain's ear. And who did he take it out on? He took it out on his brother. God rejects him, and who does he take it out? He takes it out on Abel. Instead of repenting, instead of saying, okay, God, thank you for speaking to me. Thank you for correcting me. Let me go get another sacrifice, and let me do it the way you require that it be done. No, he was more upset, and then he began to plot. Who am I going to take it out on? Who am I going to take it out on? Who am I going to? And he says, let me take it out on Abel. Now, why would you even go there? There's two worshipers. One is accepted, the other is rejected. Well, you would have been accepted if you would just do it God's way. But it bothered him. And it bothered him because he was not of God. And so, look, in the primitive church, you're going to have all kinds. You're going to have the Cain worshiper and the Abel worshiper. Those two types of worshipers. And one occupies space in the church. One will take up a space in the pew. One will sit down in the congregation. But they're really hypocrites. Jesus said, let the wheat grow with the tares. Now, look what the Apostle John says, the Apostle John, in 1 John, the first epistle of John, chapter 3, verse 10. 1 John 3, chapter 3, verse 10. He says, in this the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. He says, this is how you know who's who. Whosoever doth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his what? His brother. How do you know that someone's real? Well, that they love you. That's the proof. Love is proven, or rather, genuine Christian character, the acid test for this is love. He says, this is the message that you've heard from the beginning, 1 John 3:11. That we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, and he slew his brother. And wherefore slew he his brother? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's works were righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. But we know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Whereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. So true believers love God, love his word, and love his people. The true believer loves God, loves the word of God, whether the word of God is rebuking you at the moment or reproving you or correcting you, whatever the case, or edify. You see, you love the word of God, whether it's palatable or not, you love it. Because you know that the word of God is there to keep you safe. It's there to keep you from being lost. And so you love God. You love every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And then you love the brethren. You love those who are members of the household of faith. The Cains, on the other hand, the hypocritical believers, they really don't love God, and they don't love his word, and they don't love the brethren. They just love religion. They love religion because religion is what? It's Satan's great tool to deceive people into thinking that they're going to heaven when they're really going in the opposite direction. So, interesting to note, that it says in 1 John 3:12, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, he was of Satan, and he slew his brother. Now, the Greek word there for slew means that he went behind his brother and he cut his jugular. He took some sharp object, and then he cast it across his brother's throat. And then all the blood spilled out. And so as soon as Cain cut Abel's jugular, you can only imagine how Abel reached for his throat and just blood was gushing out. And Abel, in essence, was saying to God, you want a blood sacrifice? You are upset with me because I didn't bring you a blood sacrifice like my brother did? I'm going to give you a blood sacrifice now. I'm going to go and cut my brother's throat and slaughter him the way you would slaughter a lamb. And this is why God says to your brother's blood, crieth to me from the ground. You see? Why? Because he cut his jugular and the blood just spilled out. And so, my brothers and sisters, you will see that throughout church history, all of the religious hypocrites, and it's amazing because the religious hypocrites are the ones with the religious uniforms. You can just tell who the haters are. The real haters in the church are the ones with all of the religious outfits. Those are the real haters. That should clue you in that those are the real haters, the ones with those religious outfits, the ones with the collars, the ones with the funny hat, the ones who love processions, religious processions. Those are the big-time haters. Then there's the simple worshiper who just comes to church because they love God. They love God's word, and they love the brethren. They don't love the paraphernalia. They don't love the religious. They're not into any of that. They just love God. They love the word, and they love their brethren. And so just like in the days of old, as we glimpse, as we take a view of the primitive church, it's the same today. It's the same today. It's the same today. Watch out for those folk with the religious outfits. That's the pride of life. All that stuff is the stuff that Satan gives as to deceive, as to let people think that they're right when they're really wrong. So we're going to end it there today. And we'll pick it up next Thursday. We'll do a part 5 next Thursday. And we're going to continue this until we end. We might do up to a part 8 or 9. But these studies will be beneficial to us because, you know what's on the increase today? You look at most of our churches today. You know what's creeping into the so-called Protestant church? You know what's creeping in? That now, men and women in great numbers are seeking the title of bishop. Men and women in great numbers are seeking to wear those funny outfits that they wear over there in Rome. That's what's creeping into the church today. That's what's flooding our churches today. That now most men and women, and listen, the people who are making those outfits are making a bundle. Because now they're creating all kinds of outfits for all kinds of occasions. And Rome is creeping into Christ's church. I see it every day. I see it. There's an explosion. There is an explosion. And these religious folk, when you point it out to them, when you say, listen, that outfit that you have on was worn by the Philistine priest who worshiped Dagon, the fish god, and they get mad. You can just see them getting mad. And they'll fight you, and they'll say, oh, no, you've got that information wrong. And you can just see. Because you're attacking their identity. That's what makes them. Not being connected to Christ. That's their identity is not in Christ. Their identity now is in a uniform. Religion. That's what Satan breeds in the church. And that's why the Pharisees of Jesus' day, the Sadducees and the scribes, they wanted to kill Jesus. He says, you want to kill me and simply for giving you the truth? But that's what we've come to today. There's Abels in the church who worship God, who love the Lord, love his word, and love the people. And then there are Cains. Either you do it his way or he'll kill you. Spirit of the age today in the church. And we'll leave it there. I want to close today's Bible study with, I love thy kingdom, Lord. I love thy kingdom, Lord. If you love his kingdom, Jesus said, Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. See, you can't say that you love Jesus and only just want to be for Jesus. No. He said, do you love me, Peter? Yes, I love you. Feed my lambs. The practical way in which we show the Lord that we really love him is that we love his people. So, here we have it. I love thy kingdom, Lord. Don't forget to tune in tomorrow, Friday, for your word of exhortation. This is Radio Shepherd signing off. Until then, may the Lord keep you and watch over you. God bless.